Welcome to Bible Strong. I am so pleased that you have tuned in today. I'm glad that you're making Bible Strong a part of your day. My children came to visit. My son and daughter, Chad and Rebecca. So while they were here over the holidays, I called them into my office, gave each one a microphone, and said, "Now, I want you to sing the song that blessed me over the years, Sweet Beulah Land." This is my gold nugget to you. It's not a professional deal. I recorded it here in the office. And after this song, we're going right into the lesson. We're speaking on the subject, Jesus, the Friend of Sinners.
I'm kind of homesick for a country to which I've never been before. No sad goodbyes will there be spoken, for time won't matter anymore. You love it, I'm longing for you, and someday across that river to where my faith shall end inside. Oh, there's just a few more days to labor, then I will take heavenly flight. Beulah Land, I'm longing for you, and someday on thee I'll stand. There my
in the book of Matthew, chapter 9, and verse 10 tells us, "As Jesus sat at meat in the house, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said to his disciples, Why eateth your master with publicans and sinners?' Jesus heard what they said. In Mark chapter 2, he answers, They that are whole have no need of the physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And then again in Matthew chapter 11, Jesus said this, John came neither eating nor drinking, and they said, he has a devil. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, behold, a gluttonous and a wine bibber, a friend of publicans and sinners. So why is he a friend to the publicans and sinners? His reply is, I am come to call the sinners to repentance. But the Pharisees didn't see it that way. They called him a friend of the publicans and the sinners. A man who could be a friend to publicans was reckoned to be as evil as the publicans themselves. Furthermore, when the Jews mention those low class of people, they always said the publicans and sinners. They put the publicans first as though they were the lowest of the low. But our Lord did not let their opinions of the publicans and sinners cause him to deviate from his course of actions. Their scoffings, their sneering remarks did not stop him from befriending the sinners, even the open sinners, sinners of the worst kind. From the woman at the well at Sychar, who had five husbands, to dispensing pardon to a thief while he was hanging on the cross. And in between the calling of the woman of Samaria to the thief on the cross, our Savior receives sinners and ate with them. He has often been accused of eating and drinking and spending too much time with the happy hour crowd. The old contempt of the sinner's Savior is still in this world today among the self-righteous, taking different shapes and speaking different words, yet it is still among us. Many would say that Christianity is too lenient on the sinner. It's always talking about forgiveness without merit and grace without works, believing without achieving. Jesus did go to the house of a man that was a sinner, and he did so not only once, but as often as he saw need. He went after the sheep which had gone astray. Jesus had that special attraction to those of the lower class. Therefore it is written, they drew near unto him, all the publicans and sinners, for to hear him. His ministry was aimed to those who were as sheep without a shepherd, and succeeded among such. For we read that the publicans and harlots enter into the kingdom. Jesus was indeed the sinner's friend. The salvation gospel, which now represents Christ upon earth, has a kindly relationship towards the guilty. It contemplates their salvation and finds its greatest triumph among them. The object of Christ and the design of the gospel is the saving of sinners. If there be any man in this world who is not guilty, the Savior means nothing to him. If there be one who have never transgressed God's law, Jesus did not come into the world to call such a man to repentance. Why should he? The whole have no need of a physician, but they that are sick. A redeemer for those who are not enslaved. Money for the rich medicine for the whole, pardon for the innocent. These are all needless things. And so to the guilty sinner Jesus comes. The gospel promises are addressed to the guilty. Who else would need forgiveness? The salvation blessings are intended for those who have transgressed and are under condemnation. Who else would need forgiveness? I know of no promised salvation intended for those who have never broken the law, but I perceive all through those wonderful pages of the Scripture that mercy's eye and heart are set upon those who are guilty and self-condemned. The eternal watch and eye of the Lord is cast upon the sea of life to spy out those who are almost shipwrecked. Our Lord was more moved at the sight of sickness than of help. He worked His greatest wonders among fevers, leprosies, and palsies. This is the end and object of the gospel, namely, to save the unrighteous. The God of the gospel is He that justifies the ungodly. For when we were yet without strength, Christ died for the ungodly. God commended His love towards us in that when we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He died not for those that were merely guilty of open sin, but for those guilty of secret sin, sins of the heart, sins of the mind, sins that stain the inner soul. Jesus Christ causes His ministers in the preaching of the word to gather out of the world and into the church those who were enemies and alienated in their minds by wicked works. The eternal love of God does not go forth towards those who feel superior and those who wrap themselves in the mantle of their own righteousness, but goes forth unto those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death and bound in afflictions. I'm going to end the lesson right here, but tomorrow I'll be back on the same subject, Jesus, a friend to publicans and sinners.